interesting proposition.
It requires privacy, complete trust.
And I must give of myself?
Considerably. But the rewards are great.
As are the risks.
Risks can be minimized.
More coffee?
I prefer champagne.
Afterwards. I always think champagne sits well on the tongue. Afterwards.
And you still tremble on the edge of the act?
Exactly. Just so.
What can I do to convince you?
I am a weak vessel, sir. I have been tossed in many a stormy sea.
I am an excellent navigator. And here is a bottle of champagne.
Yet, before I would trust you to steer my little ship, I may need proof of your prowess. Proof is everything, sir.
Very well. What is your verdict?
How splendid.
Are we in agreement, then?
Oh, my. How absolutely splendid.
In the dead of night, the city reminds me of nothing less than a jungle, where animals tear their fellows to pieces and feed off each other in a never-ending battle, tooth and claw. Human nature would be much the same were it not for the rigor of justice. As the world is made, thieves, robbers, and murderers will try to persevere. It is their nature, and the more they achieve, the more they would. They are artists inspired by their art, and they would claim that crime is more natural than the law. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police, and every day I walk into that jungle. I am the check to their nature if she gets rampant and a little out of sides, and when she develops new tricks to get ahead of me, then I am sore vexed, and I must gird up my loins to begin the chase.
There he is, lads. Grab a hold.
I've got him. Wait, wait, there is some mistake.
And you made it. Ah, Ken, false coin by the bite. You can't fool Marty.
I assure you that I...
Calm down, lads. Try to swindle Artie Monroe, would you?
I had no intention.
Now you just hod your yammer till Jamie McCleavy gets here. He'll put you to rights.
McCleavy? I am his superior.
Well done, Tommy. Superior? You couldn't blow his whistle.
And then this 15-stone ruffian drops his great backside onto my midriff and squashes me flat as a flounder.
But why run away to begin with, sir?
The man started shouting at me in his shop. I couldn't make out a word. I thought it best to leave quickly.
I see. It's just, that shop is known for selling books of a certain kind.
And what kind is that, sir?
They tend towards titillation, Constable.
I was searching for poetry. Virgil.
Timeo Danaos et Dona Ferentes.
Pardon?
I fear the Greeks when they bring gifts. It's the only piece I know. A solicitor's clerk taught it me. He was an embezzler.
Lieutenant Roche, have you any notion where you might have accrued this false half-crown?
A sensible question at last. I have no idea.
Did I not hear you say you were bound for the concert hall last night?
I was.
Perfect for the passing of false coin.
It is a place of culture, McCleavy. It was handled.
And you were caught handling.
I am aware, Inspector, that my present predicament has afforded you much simple-minded amusement.
Nothing funny about it, sir.
Thank you, Mulholland.
I merely meant...
That's quite enough from you. There is a steady stream of such false coin coming onto our streets at the moment, McCleavy, and since you pride yourself in your knowledge of the streets, I suggest you get out there and put a stop to it.
I can but try, Lieutenant.
Don't try. Do. You miss the bigger picture, McCleavy. When the coin of the realm is undermined and the Queen's image subverted, the whole fabric of our society is threatened.
Stay still, you great bunch of poultry. It's not your eggs I'm after, it's your carcass. Ow! You one-eyed spawn of Satan. These are numbered. Come here, you. I'll wring your neck.
Electroplating, that's the thing, sir. Once the coins are moulded in a cheap alloy, the castings are attached to the negative lead of a galvanic battery.
Fascinating.
Hung in a cyanide solution, in which a piece of silver connected to the positive terminal is also immersed. They take on a thin coating of silver and then they're slummed down.
Slummed? I know that word.
Ah, but in this case, it means treated with a compound of oil and black to tone down the brightness of the coins. I have a paper on it, sir.
I have been immersed enough.
I made it as simple as I could.
Thank you.
Oh, and one other thing. There's an artist at work here, sir. The final product is excellent.
Didn't a fool Archie Munro's teeth?
Fooled the lieutenant.
Ah, well. Here! And what do you mean, sookin' up to Roach? Nothing funny about it, sir.
I was trying to get you off the hook.
You were sookin' up.
There's no need to take it out on me because you're not up with the latest criminal scientific advances, sir.
I prefer the human mind.
It's the human mind which creates the advances.
I'm a kindly soul, so I let him have the last word. But to my thinking, no amount of scientific palaver can ever compensate for a knowledge of the human psyche. People, they are my science. To the matter in hand. From the amount of coin, this was no small operation. A workshop of sorts somewhere, possibly the top story of a building, hard of access and well guarded by desperate men. Coining carries a heavy sentence, interfering with the Queen's head being a risky business. As for the coins themselves, the output was being passed both high and low, from the big hotels to the meanest tavern of Leith. We started low, trawling the streets I know so well, and turned up a clue of sorts. An old woman had tried to pass a brand new coin in one of the wee cake shops. When questioned, she'd left quickly. The assistant thought her name might be Campbell. That, plus the description, put me in mind of one Granny Campbell of Bell's Wynd, who ran a poor lodging house. Kind of woman who was always at death's door, but had never yet passed through.
Terrible, terrible. A poor old woman like me, accused and blamed. Poor old innocent woman.
All we want to know is where you got this coin.
I had sight where. I might have known it was bad, but the man that gave it to me...
Who was that?
A lodger. I had a lodger.
His name?
What?
The name, Mrs. Campbell.
Wait now. Aye. Regan. As I cried himself, a sneaky devil.
What did he look like?
A clary man. With a bald head and a long nose. Said he was a merchant. He was going north. Aberdeen.
When did he leave?
This very morning. He gave me over that nice shiny new coin. I should have known.
Why did you run out of the shop?
A gal looked at me. Strange. She had an evil eye. And I was innocent. Just a poor...
Yes. Regan.
That was his name.
Did he visit any of the taverns in the area?
Ducklet and Trumpet, that's nearby. I think he went there.
Thank you. I'll have to take this coin as evidence.
What about me? Ask me, have I got insurance?
Unfortunate.
Yes, the law. Teep, but never gum.
I can give a receipt.
A receipt? What good's that to hungry soul?
I doubt if she's our coiner. Not a galvanic battery to be seen. You kept kicking at her, Mulholland. Were you suspicious?
No, it was just the hair, sir, on her chin.
The mole, you mean?
It was sprouting. I'd never seen the like before.
Not even on the farm. Mrs. Dewar, how are you?
No bad considering, Inspector. Would you like a draw?
No, thank you. I'm looking for a customer of yours, name of Regan.
Ugly wee man.
The name I don't know. As for the other, take your pick. There's hundreds.
A merchant type, bald head, long nose.
Nothing comes to mind.
Any of this false coin land up in your takings?
I hope not. But you don't know till you go to the bank.
When did you ever go to the bank, Bessie?
True enough. That man of mine has it spent before I can get there.
I'm dying of thirst over here.
Your pardon, Inspector.
Bit of a wild goose chase there.
That explains the feathers.
Eh?
Blowing round your feet from under that door to the side.
Oh, must be the kitchen.
No, the kitchen's back a ways. I have a feeling that might be Sandy's den.
Sandy?
Mrs. Dewar's fox of a husband. I'll wager that door is locked. We'll just take a wee turn round the back, Mulholland.
Following the debris of plumage, sir.
Very scientific, Mulholland. Who knows where it may lead?
Well, what do you think, Jessie?
Oh, I think you look lovely, Mr. Spratt. Mm. And that peacock's feather sets your chapeau off a treat.
Has Mr. Harvey arrived yet?
I'll give a shout below.
No, Jessie, you may inquire, but don't bawl down like an oyster woman.
Excuse me, mistress. Oh.
Well, answer it, Jessie.
I hope you don't mind. I showed myself up.
You seem to know the way.
I brought you some flowers.
Oh, what bonny roses! Red as a cardinal's hat.
Many things are red, Jessie.
Indeed they are. The blood, the heart, the lips.
I'll put them in water.
Well, Jean Brash, you look pretty as a picture.
Pictures get hung on walls. I admire closer handling.
I don't see how this is going to help us find the coiners.
Stop your gurning, Mulholland. Look, the back window is half open. Ready? One, two, three. Well, Sandy?
Well, Inspector, fancy you calling by.
That's a fine collection of birds you have in there.
Aye, and well plucked.
9 hens, 9 ducks, sir.
Mulholland here knows his poultry. Where did you get them, Sandy?
They flew in at the window.
Just the way that Bologna sausage did 2 years ago.
Ach, no. That's still a mystery.
You stole those birds, Sandy, and we shall find the rightful owner.
But will the owner know the bird?
That's the problem, sir. They've all been plucked clean. Not even a head feather left. No chance of identification.
I am not letting the snaffler free.
Mr. Roach won't like it, sir.
Then he may lump it. You will take that pillowcase there, collect every single piece of plumage, you will tie the bird's legs together, hang them on a pole, and we will take all this to the station.
I'll do your bidding, but you're wasting your time, Inspector.
Let her in, Sandy.
Pity me! Looks like a slaughterhouse.
Your husband is coming with me, Mrs. Dewar. Theft is the charge.
The Lord's will be done.
You'll not get rid of me that easy.
If you have disgraced the house, Sandy, then you must drink the dregs.
There you are, Sandy, a malediction steeped in alcohol. Well, get on your hands and knees and let's see those feathers fly. I had high hopes that Mrs. Dewar, who was obviously losing conceit of Sandy, might assist me in making his absence more permanent, but she disappointed me. She would say nothing against her lawful husband, unlawful though she might think him to be. By now, I had gone too far to recede, so when Sandy had finished his labours, off we went in procession, ducks, hens, and filled pillow dangling on the pole. A sorely abashed Mulholland holding up at the rear, Sandy on the other end, grinning like a loon, and myself parading in front. All we lacked was a big bass drum. There were many comments passed as we moved through the high street, few of them felicitous. And then, just when it looked as if we might escape with some dignity intact, who should appear but the one person in Leith I had most earnestly desired to avoid? The mistress of the Happy Land, and queen of that criminal jungle.
James McCleavy, are times so bad you must sell poultry on the streets?
I'm on a case.
A pillowcase.
My friend, Mr. Harvey, Jem, this is Inspector McCleavy, the man I've been telling you so much about.
Ah, but nothing could quite prepare me for the reality. Your servant, sir.
Have we not met before?
Oh, I doubt if we move in the same barnyard.
And is it not Constable Mulholland I see, hiding behind that duck?
He's at the right end of it and all.
Be quiet, you.
Afternoon. Fine weather.
It is indeed, especially when you're bound for the Leith races. Would you like me to lay a bet for you, McCleavy?
No, thank you. Are you visiting Edinburgh, then?
Yes, I've come to see the sights. Most rewarding. Some of them are very beautiful. Some are most outlandish.
Where do you come from originally?
My mother's womb.
Well answered. Such a fine response deserves a kiss. Do you not agree, Inspector?
When I think of a kiss, I think of Judas.
What a tortured life you must lead.
I think you're jealous, McCleavy. Well, we're off to the horses. Leave you with your ducks and hens.
Aye, he's trying to put the theft of them on me, but he has no proof.
Oh, dear. What a pity. Proof is everything, I'm afraid, Inspector. Proof is everything.
Goodbye, McCleavy. I'd blow you a kiss, but how could it find a place to land on that sour face?
You, Dewar, off with your jacket. And you, Mulholland, the same. Quickly.
What's going on, sir?
This jacket.
There's a chicken.
There. Not much of a disguise, but I'll have to do. Try and grab a hat on the way.
The way where?
Leith races. I want you to follow those two and watch every move they make.
Jealous, right enough.
You get up against that wall and stay there. Harvey. I'm sure I recognize his face. A photo dispatch from Bristol Police, and I think it was to do with coining.
The races are a perfect place to pass it out.
My thought exactly. On your way, and Mulholland, try to remain inconspicuous.
I'll melt into the background. Don't you worry, sir. That's me gone.
Not a bad fit. Do you think I make a good blue bottle?
Take off that jacket. Pick up your pole. And walk. Jealous.
McCleavy, on passing the cold room, I discover it to be full of poultry corpses.
Just so, sir. I arrived back to find two separate reports of foul theft. I've already apprehended the thief. The birds are awaiting identification.
That may be difficult unless one of them has a gold tooth. I seem to remember sending you out on quite another investigation.
That matter is in hand, sir.
I hope so. Reports indicate that some of these coins have turned up further north. Aberdeen, no less.
Aberdeen?
Hmm?
I can wire them details of a possible suspect, but more importantly, I am myself waiting for a telegram from the Bristol Police in response to an inquiry.
An inquiry?
Yes, sir.
I see by the look in your face that further questions are pointless, but I assume I will be kept abreast of any important developments.
You will, sir.
Aye, good. Because I don't want you going off half-cocked, James. You did that once before with some unfortunate results.
I have learned my lessons.
I hope so. And in the meantime, try to get your mind out of the hen run.
You bring me luck, Mr. Harvey.
I have more to offer than mere luck.
As you have proved.
And shall again, I trust.
Will you visit this evening?
I may be a little late. There is some business on hand.
And you would have me be second?
Ladies should always come first, but...
Business is business. In this case, you might be pardoned.
I shall kneel before you.
And I shall take pleasure in the receipt of your petition.
Now to collect my winnings. One more race. And then we... Oh, that poor man.
The shabby fellow behind the stall.
He lurks in vain. Hungry, unable to move.
He has gambled and lost.
How may we compensate him for his thankless existence?
Not a dud coin to be seen. All the wagers and notes, and then they had the cheek to send me over a stale piece of pie to keep my strength up.
I thought you melted into the background.
I'm too big for a jockey and the wrong shape for a horse.
What about the donkeys?
Eh?
Never mind. Have a look at this photo.
Aye, that's him right enough.
My memory did not play false.
No, I must have missed that dispatch.
Too busy reading one of your advanced papers, but I must say, Mulholland, science is a wonderful thing.
Is it now?
I wired the Bristol police 2 hours ago, and here is my response. Even kept his name, Jem Harvey, known as the Swell, a high-class coiner and ladies' man.
Just says coiner.
My own observation. Things have been getting a wee bit too hot for him down in the West Country, so he's obviously decided to travel north, thinking the picking's easier and the police less intelligent.
He does that. I dogged him back to the North British Hotel, and he had the effrontery to wave goodbye and call over I should take some rest, as he wasn't going out till later this evening.
So, he spots you easy.
I don't know how he does it. I'm like a shadow.
Yet a shadow is attached to the person. If he knows where to glance...
You have one of your plans on, do you not, sir?
How do you surmise that?
The look on your face, as if you're the cat and I'm the canary.
I may be the cat, Mulholland, but it is quite another yellow bird I wish to see chirping in the cage.
Enlighten me, sir.
It is to do with my pride, Mulholland, as I know to my cost. It comes before a fall.
Rings true, does it not?
It's a good shilling, Mrs. Gamble. Now, what may I bring you?
The usual. I feel the angel of death flapping his wings. Thank you. If it wasn't for the odd wee drop of whiskey. Life wouldn't be worth living.
It's not so bad.
Aye, you seem cheery enough.
How could I not be with Sandy in the jail?
But that's terrible. Your poor husband.
I'm sorry for the day I ever married. Tried to make a respectable man out of him. What a waste.
But there's no harm in him.
Tell that to McLeavy. If he can prove theft, he'll come down on Sandy like a hammer. Still bears a grudge over that bologna sausage.
McLeavy, how can you wish that feeding anybody? It puts the fear of God into me.
An honest woman has nothing to fear from him.
I'm honest enough, but I can't answer for my lodgers.
Jem Harvey exited the North British Hotel as the street lamps began to glow in the dark, and strolled down Princes Street, looking in the odd shop window, raising his hat to the odd, flattered female. A man at peace with himself, out for an evening promenade. Then it all changed. He ducked into a narrow wind, doubled back, crossed over, twisted, turned, and then watched with some amusement as Mulholland ran around the streets, desperately seeking a man who was no longer there. Harvey left him to it, and turned his steps towards downtown Leith. He was now free as the air to pursue his calling. And yet...
You mean I've got to make myself obvious?
Yes.
But that means I've got to look like a fool.
I know it will be difficult.
So, that's the plan, is it?
That's the plan.
And it had worked. Harvey had reckoned without the second shadow. Of course, he still took precautions, the odd glance in a window, stoop down to tie your shoelace and kick back. But the second shadow was too old a hand to be caught by those tricks. I followed him to a cheap lodging house, Gulliver's, which lay in the very bowels of Leith, and saw him gain entry. The place was dark, but in the top-story attic a light was burning, like a beacon, and there would be our coiner's den. My life I'd wager on it. I got word back to Mulholland, and he arrived from the station with a body of men. We put the landlord, Gulliver, into a terrified silence, and began the dangerous approach up the dank and creaking stairs towards a deadly nemesis.
Did you inform Mr. Roach?
He's at the opera.
Opera?
Verdi. La Traviata.
Italian? What use is that?
Shh.
All right, boys. Once the door goes down, these men are fighting desperate. The sentence for coining is 20 years. That may not appeal to the company. We go in heavy and hard, and we don't stop till they're all laid out neatly in a row.
Like the poultry.
Now, up with the sledgehammers, and let them know that justice is a knocking at the door. On my word. One, two, three.
Escape, my brave boys. We have more waiting below. Give yourself up. It'll be the easier for you. Well done, Mulholland.
Try to get out the skylight, sir. Nice still, you.
Well, Mr. Harvey, as you say, proof is everything.
How did you get here?
You're not as smart as you think.
Help the rest, Mulholland. Then pack them all off downstairs.
Yes, sir.
You were betrayed, Harvey.
Who by?
That's my little secret. I'll tell you one thing, though. We now stand in the same barnyard. But you, my friend, are in the midden.
Come in.
No sign of him, Mistress Brash.
Oh, well, I'm sure he won't be long.
What if he's found another sweetheart?
I hope not. For his sake.
Is Guy busy down there, Mistress? Can I have...
Go. Reap the harvest. Oh, and Jessie, send up one of the girls with a bottle of champagne.
And some oysters, Mistress?
3 dozen.
Big appetite. Mind you, he's a lively man.
I hope so, Jessie. I hope so.
Ah, it's a pity. This was to be my last night. I had built up a great stash of money, and my people were primed to spread it west and north tomorrow. Still, it may yet happen.
Where is this stash?
Where you will never find it.
Tell me where it is, and I'll tell you who betrayed you. I'll even give you the letter of the first name. It is J.
For Judas?
Not quite.
You're a liar, MacLeavy.
On my soul, J is the letter.
Liar?
Not at all. Let us, for instance, say a certain person, an associate of some kind, was under threat.
Of what?
Being discovered. I have my spies everywhere. Then to save her own skin... You were betrayed.
Her own money she would lose.
Better than her liberty.
She would never... I see where you would lead me. Into a betrayal of a different kind. You talk of her skin, MacLeavy, but have you ever touched it? Soft, full of fragrance, delicate as a rose.
Roses have thorns.
They scratch and you bleed. But the pain is worthwhile, considering the pleasure.
There's your stash in the happy land.
I know that answer.
Have you been listening in again?
It's just a habit, sir. But I think I know where the stash is.
A gomeral like you, I doubt it.
So I'd give you gomeral.
Mulholland, where?
After I packed that lot in the wagon, I had a word with Mr. Gulliver, the landlord.
To the point, Mulholland.
The attic room was booked in the name of Regan, and it was done by a certain lady. A certain unmistakable lady.
In what way?
Very like a Mouldiwart, sir.
You dirty stinking blue bottles! You leave her out of it, you hear me? God's curse on the two of you! You leave her out of it!
So it would seem our Jem is a local lad, despite all the trimmings, eh?
Just a Keeley in disguise, sir.
I always tell the truth, Mulholland. Shame the devil.
That's your motto, is it, sir?
That's my motto, and it's surprising what results it brings. When I told Harvey that he'd been betrayed by someone with the letter J, he assumed I meant Jean Brash, and flew to his lady love's defense. But it was he who led us to the coiners. He who betrayed himself. Jem Harvey, hence the J.
J may stand for many things, sir. Jealousy, for instance.
What? The mistress of the house. Where is she?
The mistress? She's in her bed. Something she ate brought her low. Here she is, sir.
You may go. We're searching for a stash of coins.
And do you know where it is?
Don't you, Granny Campbell?
Oh, I should never have it that way.
Did you hear what was said?
Oh, I'm in a tunnel. I can hear the Angel of Death hovering, whispering in my ear.
Yes. Where is the false coin?
What would I know a coin? I'm just a poor old woman.
Nowhere in this room, sir.
You think not?
Bare bones. No place to hide.
You think not?
I see what you mean, sir.
On my word, then.
But what if it kills her?
I'll send some flowers. So, Granny, you hired a room for a certain Mr. Regan?
Oh, my poor Billy.
Gulliver, the landlord, gave us your description.
There's thousands of old women.
But not with a mole like yours. You should really cut back the hairs, Granny.
They're natural. All God's creatures grow here.
Now, Mulholland.
You murdered me. Shame and beat your heat, your mother. A poor old woman who never harmed a living.
Be quiet! Oh.
You were right, sir.
Not for the first time. A trap door.
Under the bed. Very clever.
But not clever enough. And when we lift it up, Mulholland, I wonder what we'll find. We found the stash. In fact, the granny and Harvey were related, the son of one of her many nieces. She helped them get the attic room and was only too pleased to offer her place as storage for the false coin. But then she got greedy and dipped in to buy herself a cake. Terrible thing, a sweet tooth. And Regan? He never existed. It was her family middle name, and Jem Harvey's as well. She had blurted it out when we surprised her, then hoped to put us off with a false description. It did, but not for long. We waited for the other members of the gang the next day. They came to pick up their output, then spread it east and north, but they were the ones picked up. As I walked into the station on a fine, fresh morning, I must admit that, save for one exception, I was pleased how it had all worked out. But despite that pleasure, I still had a problem on my hands. The fox was penned, but how to stop him loping over the gate?
McCleavy, my congratulations on the coiners.
Thank you, sir. How was Verdi?
Too tragic. I get enough of that here. Mrs. Roach enjoyed it, but I prefer the lighter pieces.
I'm sure you do.
What is Mulholland doing with these two hizzies? A bit early for the pavement parade, surely?
Scullery maids from each house. They looked after the stolen poultry.
Oh, here to identify the dead birds. I wish you luck, McCleavy, but I fear the worst. Don't forget my suggestion of the gold tooth, or... maybe one of them had a wooden leg.
Very funny, sir. Did you ever find it?
What?
The book of poems.
Huh?
The one that caused you to hurtle through the streets and have your breadbasket dunted. Virgil, I believe. Did you ever find it?
No, I did not.
I'll keep my eye on.
Do that, McCleavy.
The young ladies are waiting, sir. Shall I go and get Dewar from the cell?
Why not? More the merrier. We may wheatle and quack together. Now, ladies, don't be afeard. The room is cold, but that's just to stop the flesh from rotting.
Do they keep dead bodies in here?
You'd be surprised what's laying on the slab. Now, here are your charges. Does the bell of recognition tinkle in your ear, Barbara?
We had 9 hens, and there's 9 lying there, but they're total naked. In their birthday suits, Inspector.
Who could recognise you in your birthday suit?
Josie, is it the same for you?
Oh, my poor wee ducks. Jeez, I fed them every morning. They come up in a line just like soldiers, but... I'm sorry, Inspector. Everyone was a different character. Now they all look the same.
Come on, Dewar, in you go.
No need to shove. Well, here's a pair of fine wee chukies.
Do you know this man? Have you ever seen him hang around your houses?
No, nor me, but I don't at all like him.
I could change that with one kiss.
I'd rather kiss a toad.
You kind of get the proof, eh? I have the laugh on you, Inspector. Well, thank you to let me go now.
Think, girls, is there nothing, no physical quirk of any kind, that can help identify your charges? A wooden leg. Something like that.
A wooden leg?
That's the pensioner.
The what?
He had a spliced leg. A dog broke it, but he cured up a month ago.
The fifth duck. From our end. Examine the leg.
Sim, look. You can see where the sore's healed. The right leg. And it's still got the marks of the string on it.
And here's the corporal.
What?
What you said put me in mind.
In mind of what?
He was stone blind in the one eye. Lost his sight in a battle with Mr. Grant's cock and never recovered. Yeah, I had to approach the hens from the left. Oh, it's my bonny corporal. Oh, but I'm vexed to see him in this condition.
That's the wife for you, Mulholland. If she has a qualm of pity for a bird, what may she not have for a man?
I'll take note of that, sir.
So, Sandy, I reckon 30 days for the hens and another 2 months for the ducks.
Oh, come double!
Second offence.
Your goose is cooked. Take the young ladies to the desk, Mulholland. Have them make statement.
Yes, sir. Come along, Josie. After you, Miss Barbara.
Damn you, McCleavy. Do you never give up? Have you nothing better to do?
Yes, and I do it, and then I come back to you.
Not very scientific, but you don't have to tie up the cases, sir.
Save for the odd exception, Constable. Save for the odd exception. You look a bit pale, Jean.
I had a restless night.
Conscience?
Oysters.
Uh-huh. Speaking of pandas, we prized your Mr. Harvey out of his shell last night.
So? I heard.
He now lies in the gastric juices of the law. He has indicated that you supplied the capital to promote his... coining enterprise.
Why would he do that?
He faces a 20-year sentence. Perhaps he hopes to mitigate it somewhat by spreading the load.
Let him stand up in court and say so. I will deny it. Proof is everything, Inspector McCleavy.
Why so formal, Jean?
What do you want here?
I merely came to apprise you of an imputation against your good name, Mr. Sprash.
I will deny it, and I don't believe Jem said any such thing.
Well, we shall see.
He is a gentleman.
He takes on that air, but underneath. In any case, once his fine long hair is cut to the bone and he swaps his top coat for a canvas jacket, he will be indistinguishable from all the other inhabitants of the penal barnyard.
Have you anything else to say?
Not at the moment. The meridian approaches. I may treat myself to a tuppenny tightener. Nothing sharpens the appetite more than bringing down a villain.
Good day, Inspector.
Good day, Jean. I would blow you a kiss.
but it will freeze on that cold face of yours.
Mr. Sprash, what happened?
Never mind. Just clear it up, Jessie.
Yes, mistress. He's gone, mistress, the inspector.
I noticed.
I felt an unaccustomed lightness of spirit as I left the Happy Land. My encounters with Jean Brash usually engendered feelings of irritation, anger, frustration, but not this time. Yet what was this feeling? Let us follow the letter J. Was it the joy of justice served? Or was it jealousy fulfilled? Who knows? I stood on the street and watched the ebb and flow of humanity, each person carrying their different world like a hen carries an egg. And for once, I allowed myself to feel part of it, just bobbing along, curiously, content.
Him down there. Cock of the walk. I hope he's feeling pleased with himself.
He usually does, mistress.
Uh-huh. Well, one day, James McLeavy and I will have a reckoning. Tooth and claw.
That'll be a terrible day.
Lay out my best gown.
At once, mistress.
A reckoning, McLeavy. Tooth and claw.
In McLeavy, The Second Shadow by David Ashton, Brian Cox was Inspector James McLeavy and Siobhan Redmond Jean Brash. Other parts were played by Michael Percival Maxwell, John McGlynn, Colette O'Neill, Tracy Wiles, Kenny Blythe and Carol Bonneman. It was directed by Patrick Rayner.